You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When the Ottoman Empire dissolved after World War I, tensions between Greece and Turkey escalated, with ethnic minorities caught in the middle. A film called From Both Sides of the Aegean, Expulsion and Exchange of Populations, Turkey-Greece, 1922-1924, documents the population exchange between the Muslim and Christian communities in Greece and Turkey and how it uprooted the lives of millions. It opens today at the Quad Cinema and runs until April 3rd. And joining us now are Maria Iliu, the film's director, and Alexander Kitroev, an associate professor of history at Haverford College and the film's historical consultant. Welcome to our show.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This film seems, the story seems to be as relevant as ever now, with Russia asserting its control over Crimea, which is leading to the exodus of some people from that area. It's also about how military actions affect ordinary people. This is something that happened a lot more in history than we tend to think of.
Yes, you could say the 20th century, and unfortunately the 21st as well, has been a history of displaced peoples. Civilians have become more and more involved in wars as victims. That wasn't the case back in the 19th when battles took place in battlefields. Now, in the 20th century, battles have been taking place in cities, in urban areas, and ethnic minorities especially have been targeted.
Maria, who began the expulsions first, the Turks or the Greeks?
Well, the Turks, and there weren't Turks then. Then it was the Ottoman Empire. So it was after the destruction of Smyrna in 22, in September 22, that 1.2 million Greeks, Orthodox, were obliged to flee Asia Minor in terrible conditions.
Could we call it a form of ethnic cleansing?
Of course. It was clearly an ethnic cleansing. And, of course, there has been a war, and this was the culmination of that war. But it has been really ethnic cleansing. And it was the moment that Turkey really, the Ottoman Empire was becoming Turkey, and the idea was Turkey for the Turks. So Greeks and Armenians had to get out.
Well, Alexander, it followed what's come to be known as the Armenian Genocide. Are the two related?
They are related, both in terms of the patterns, and in fact, there's a young generation of Turkish historians who are now looking at the Turkish archives and trying to establish the connections in a more documented way.
Although it is still dangerous in Turkey to say there was an Armenian genocide, what about this story? Is this well known in Turkey?
This story is not well known either. Again, it's a question the young generation of historians have recognized this, and many young Turkish historians are examining this story, but generally it is unknown in Turkey.
Well,
it's interesting, excuse me. In the film, we have with us Çağlar Kayder, which is a very important historian in Turkey. He's teaching in Istanbul, and he's teaching as well here in the U.S. And what he's saying in the film is that for a very long time, in the official narration of what happened, it seems that the Turks arrived to an empty country in 4,453, and nobody was existing there, Armenians or Greeks. And then this created, of course, a terrible trauma to the population, because the Muslims were remembering that they were living for centuries aside with the Armenians and the Greeks. And, of course, we have parallel problems. We've had in the past parallel problems in Greece with a national ideology.
Well, didn't Greek civilization begin in Asia Minor? And wasn't Troy in what is now Turkey?
It did. In fact, the events described in the film, 1922, the destruction of Smyrna and then the exchange of populations, brought an end to a 3,000-year presence of Greeks and Greek civilization on what is today the western coast of Turkey.
Now, Maria, you have worked on other kinds of films. You even worked with Bernardo Bertolucci, among others. But I assume this grows out of a previous film on the destruction of Smyrna.
Yes, this is the second film. And, I have a very personal story that is connected with those two films, because I grew up with two fathers. The one was from Smyrna and the other one was from Pontus. So I've been listening since I was a child, those stories. And the way I was listening those stories was very different from the way I was reading the story in the books of Greek history at the school. And, you know, by traveling and working in different countries and by doing research in the archives, I was very surprised to see certain certainties disappear. Because in Greece, there is this, I mean, it's, of course, for us, it's always the problem of the Greeks that left from Asia Minor. And whenever I think about the Muslims that were obliged to leave from Greece in order to go to Turkey. So our film, we feel it's very different from the films that have been done or in Greece or in Turkey about that subject, because it brings a completely new point of view where you see both Christians and Muslims, how they were obliged to leave their homes.
Was it official government policy of the Ottoman Empire and then Greece to expel these people?
Yes, it was. The two countries got together under the auspices of the great powers and
We created the Lausanne Treaty.
The Lausanne Treaty of 1923. And it's basically, the option was either to introduce minority protection or to take the minorities out. And the decision was that those two sides, having been at war for over a decade, no one trusted each other and didn't think they would be protecting their respective minorities.
Now, Maria, let's get back to Smyrna, which is important in this film and was the subject of a previous film. It was a major city at one point, wasn't it? And
oh,
now,
yes.
Does it even exist?
Well, it exists, but it's not anymore a cosmopolitan city. It was a multicultural cosmopolitan city where people from different parts of the world were living there for centuries.
And a major now, commercial center.
Commercial and cultural. And now it's a completely national city, which is called Izmir.
Now, what happened? As you say, there were Greeks, there were Turks, there were Jews, there were Armenians, and they all seemed to get along. And then
Americans,
one day, they weren't getting along?
Well, what happened was that at the end of the First World War, the idea was...
With the Ottoman Empire lost.
Right. The Ottoman Empire had lost, and the idea was self-determination. So the idea was there was a very large Greek population in Smyrna, so the idea was that the Greeks should go there, and there should be a referendum after 5 years, and so the people would decide if they would like to have a Greek government or not. But then slowly, the nationalistic army, the Turkish army, was created under Kemal Mustafa. So slowly, there has been a war between Greeks and Turks that has never been declared. It happened little by little. And at the end of this process, then the army of Kemal Atatürk enters in Smyrna and kills and the population, the Greek Armenian population, and burns the city. And that's when the exodus of the Greeks and the Armenians start from the Asia Minor coastline.
Kemal Atatürk, who's often thought of as the father of modern Turkey. My guests are Maria Ilyu, who has directed a film called From Both Sides of the Aegean, Expulsion and Exchange of Populations, Turkey, Greece, 1922-1924, and Alexander Kitraev, who worked as the film's historical consultant. So what we have a city and an area where people's lives are intertwined, they work with each other, they intermarry, and then suddenly, like what we saw with the partition of India and Pakistan, what we saw in Bosnia more recently, suddenly people become more ethnically pure and they become enemies even though they were friends yesterday?
Absolutely. It's what happened was nationalism happens. The multi-ethnic model of the Ottoman Empire was just simply not working it wasn't tenable by the early 20th century, both because of outside pressures, but also internally it was crumbling as well. And what replaced multi-ethnicity was the respective national identities. So people's identity changed. This is what happens in the early 20th century. It's a transition from feeling ethnic to feeling national.
And it's very interesting that in all the testimonies, what was coming back is that the city has been destroyed from outside and not from inside, which means not from the Muslim neighbors, but from the nationalistic army that was coming from outside and was not part of this cosmopolitan society.
What happened to the people who weren't either Greek or Muslim?
Well, the Levantines had also lots of problems, and they were also obliged to leave. Levantines, when we say Levantines, we mean British, Austrian, German, Italians that have been living for centuries in the Ottoman Empire. So all the Christian population had to leave, had to flee.
Where did the first wave of Greek refugees go?
Well, most of them arrived in Thessaloniki and in Athens and in various little islands, and it was very difficult to settle. Imagine that then the population was 4 or 5 million, and this was 1 million coming in.
Were they given assistance by the Greek government?
Well, it was not only the Greek government, but it was very important organizations like the Near East Relief, which did an incredible work, a very important American organization, or the American Red Cross, the League of Nations, and of course also the Greek government. And those people were actually very educated, and they were bringing a new way of thinking in Greece. And
so did they change the culture of Greece to some degree?
Dramatically.
I mean, economically, culture, politically. Economy. If you think
was
that
there resentment among Greeks about these new immigrants?
Of course,
in?
They treated them awfully.
Yes.
And if you think our first Nobel Prize was George Seferis, that is coming from Smyrna.
Now, I assume that there were problems in Turkey as well once the Greeks started expelling Turks.
Yes.
We're still seeing that played out to some degree on the island of Cyprus, aren't we?
Indeed. There were still a few Greeks left. There were Greeks left in what was Constantinople, present-day Istanbul. They were excluded from the exchange, but they've faced problems ever since, and their numbers have been shrinking. And the same issues of population and minorities and relationships are being played out in Cyprus as well.
Now, isn't there some irony to the situation? The Ottoman Empire had been welcoming to... Well, that was one of the things that was the basis of the Ottoman Empire, that all minorities were welcome. And that only changed, I guess, with the Armenian genocide. But you say that's because it was a new sense of Turkish nationalism?
Yes. The Ottoman Empire, to give it its historical dues, tried to transform itself from the middle of the 19th century with various experiments of Ottomanism and other forms of multi-ethnic identity. But the problems were too big, too many. And in the end, the default option for those in power was, as Maria said, Turkey for the Turks, rather than a more modern type of multi-ethnicity.
Now,
it's
Maria,
a process
how
that starts
was...
around 1908 with the revolution of the Young Turks and slowly becomes more and more important.
Well, how culpable was the Greek government? Didn't the Greeks invade Turkey?
Yes. Somehow they did. I mean,
so they really started a war.
It's not the Greeks just. It's the great powers in the Paris Convention that decide that Greece should go there, and the Greeks should stay for 5 years, and then there would be the referendum, which has been never done, and then the war starts little by little between small groups. But what is very moving is what we found out from the oral testimonies and the people that are speaking in the film. After so many years, we got an interview of a Greek woman that is living in northern Greece, and she was from Cappadocia. And when she speaks about the country, what she means is Cappadocia, even if she's the second generation. And during the interview, she started in Greek, and then she suddenly said 2-3 words in Turkish, and I said, could you continue in Turkish? And she continued in Turkish, and she speaks so well Turkish as if she had lived there. And then in Turkey, we got an interview from a very nice man called Husnu Karaman. He's a second generation from Iraklion, from Crete, and he still speaks very good Greek. And when he speaks about his country, what he feels is Crete. So it's very interesting to see, you know, what we are is so much more complicated. It's not just the passport we hold. Life is so much more complicated.
Now, we have very little time, but one thing we have to clear up, because even though I studied in my history class, people are still a bit confused about the Young Turks. So can you explain that development?
The Young Turks who were responsible for what is known as the Young Turk Revolution of 1908, that was the last phase in the attempts to modernize the Ottoman Empire. And it did look in 1908 as if they would introduce the principles of equality and multi-ethnicity. And those ideas survived, but only a few years. And after that, the more nationalist trend took over.
Well, there was the defeat in World War I, where they were allied with Germany and the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And then Kemal Atatürk, to some degree, tried to institute secularism in Turkey, which would have undermined some of the more rigid aspects of nationalism. But that has been eroded in recent years.
Yes, it's quite an extraordinary story. Kemal Atatürk's program was a repudiation of the old multi-ethnic Ottoman Empire in which religion was very important, and he introduced this secular, Europeanized state. And almost a century, less than a century later, Turkey looks now as if it's looking back to its Ottoman past and wanting to incorporate certain of those old elements, especially religion.
From both sides of the Aegean, expulsion and exchange of populations, Turkey, Greece, 1922-1924, is opening today at the Quad Cinema, and it will run until April 3rd. My great thanks to its director, Maria Ilyu, and its historical consultant, Alexander Kitra, for being our guests today.
Thanks for having us.